Hello, I'm Rebecca Rosewood, and this is Thrice Cursed. Warning, Thrice Cursed is a true crime and paranormal podcast. It is intended for mature audiences. Some graphic depictions of violence and other unpleasant material may exist beyond this point. For more specific content warnings, please reference the episode notes. All right, so today we're going to be doing something a little bit different, and I actually have a very special guest on, one of my favorite people on the planet. Everybody, please welcome Dom.
Sup, bitches? I just feel like Charlie Bradbury from Supernatural. She always says, sup, bitches. And I think that I'm that. And I'm not even as cool. So I still tried. So yay, claps for me. I did it.
Yay. Snap cup. Okay. So everybody, for those of you that don't know, Dom actually had a podcast with a friend. Do you want to tell him about it? Or
so you guys are lucky to be graced by my presence. I am famous. I'm really not. Okay. Yeah. Hold on. You guys, just to let you know, I have an awful asthma problem. So I took an inhaler before we started, but we ran our mouths for 30 minutes. So I think it wore off. I also kind of laughed myself into an asthma attack. So I sound like a chain smoker. So just give me 1 second. So we had a podcast called Let's Whine About Murder. We were semi not professionally experienced, successful, maybe kind of. I mean, we did well, and the only reason it ended is because I'm literally the laziest human being with commitment issues. Just don't tell my husband that. But I had commitment issues, which meant, like, we made it a whole year when I would literally try to quit every 3 months. So it was the longest project this ADD person has ever had. But, yeah, so, and with that, I had some leftover research, and I hit up my girl here, Rebecca, and I was like, yo, I know you're depressed, and research is a bitch. So I have research, and I'll read to you.
Yeah, so Dom really came in with the assist today, because I had actually planned on doing something completely different with a different podcaster, and I psyched myself out, because I'm not going to talk about it right now, but it's a case I'm super passionate about, and so I psyched myself up to the point where I could not write anything, and anything that I wrote was not good enough. So I'd write a page and then be like, this is trash, and just throw it away. So Dom kindly, I literally messaged her this morning and was like, hi, save my life.
Oh, yeah. And I came in with any chance to read to someone. Also, what is my, I mean, my research is just sitting there in a folder, forgotten, like every other good memory I have. And I was like, oh, cool. And then I was like, I have all these to pick from. And then she's like, you can pick. So it took me like 30 minutes of being like, well, what about this? What about this? What about I can't make decisions. Clearly, I'm bisexual. I have no idea what I want. So, but
you just want to have fun.
Like I said, I'm bisexual. I just want to have fun. I'm bi something. I mean, I'm bipolar, or to quote, what is it? Scott Pilgrim versus the World. I'm bi furious. So yeah, but I came to the conclusion that I've got one that I really was excited to do, to the point where I reached out to the person and I was like, you know what? I did all this effort. I'm going to do this one. And I know she's going to have me back eventually, as long as she doesn't get a bunch of hate mail. Some hate mail is fine. I thrive off of it. But if she gets a ton, I probably won't come back. So, but be honest.
I will still have her back because I love her. So, sorry.
You're like it or not, here you go. Just don't introduce me on the next one. And then they're going to be halfway through it and be like, oh, I remember her. Oh, you tricked me.
I hated this. Damn it.
Ah, you got me. Oh, well, you're going to love me because I'm hysterical.
Yeah, she is. And so the case she's telling today, I know a very little bit about it. Like, I know the basics and I'm super in awe of the girl we're going to be talking about today. But I will let Dom tell that story.
Hell yeah. Okay, so she, to me, is like a true crime superstar. Like, she is a baddie. And if you know yes. her name, you're always, if everyone who actually knows about her is like, she is so fucking awesome. So I am actually going to cover the story of Kara Robinson, now Kara Robinson Chamberlain. So if that doesn't give it away that it's a survivor story because she lives on to get married, it is. I decided I was going to pick something that wasn't so depressing because the last thing I wanted to is annoy and upset people. So we're going to do a survivor.
That's my entire MO. I'm annoying and upsetting.
I'm going to leave that to you. I'm just a guest.
Fine.
I want to be invited back.
At the end of this, everybody's going to be like, yeah, Rebecca, can you just hand your podcast over to Dom? Because I like her better.
Well, I was telling my old co-host, I was like, hey, I know the podcast ended, but out of respect, are you cool with me guest starring? Because I'm going to say things. I'm going to mention our old podcast and, you know, you're a part of that. And she was like, I don't care. But also she's about to have the best research story she's ever had on that podcast. I promise. And I was like, oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a little offensive, no, but I'm just like, I'll accept it.
I am so OCD about research that I finished the story, printed it out, read it 4 times, went back, found more information, and wrote it in pink pen. So now there's like so much added. So I hope I don't forget that I wrote that in and read it because I'm like, oh, I can add this. Who cares? But I'm going to add it anyway. I'm just like, so hopefully it's not too long. But she was like, it's going to be great. She's going to love that. How much research you've done. Do it. Also, I actually reached out to the person involved in the story out of respect. I got her permission to tell the story, which also like meant I got to meet my true crime hero, you know? So, all right. So let's get started. All right, I'm ready. Okay, y'all, I haven't done this in a while, and I feel like a virgin. I'm just doing this for the first time. I'm getting nervous. My heart's going pitter-patter. Okay, all right. I'm, like, adjusting because this chair is cold, and it's, like, really cold. I put on a bra for you, and it's starting to hurt. Not like you can see me, but...
I literally can't see you. Girl, take it off. Why are you torturing yourself?
It's not that kind of podcast, baby.
Or is it?
Ooh,
it
could be. I mean, hey, I'm going to make money off of this.
Everybody's just like, I did not sign up for this. Turning it off now.
Everyone's like, well, suddenly we didn't realize Rebecca was gay. Okay.
I thought she was like on the verge of being proposed to. What's happening?
Oh, by me? Hell yeah. Oh, you meant Luke. My bad.
I mean, I definitely meant Luke, but I'll accept your proposal. Absolutely.
He listens to you edit this and he's like, is there something you need to tell me? And you just turn smiling.
Oh my God. No, his mom listens.
Oh.
Because she listens to my podcast.
Hi, Luke's mom. You birthed a great son. I mean, I may have to take his place, but you know, you did well.
Yeah, you did excellent. He's lovely.
He's hysterical. I'm assuming it's from childhood trauma. Okay. All right. So let's get started. It is June 24th, 2002. All right. We're going to go back. All right. What was it? 2002. We had the Razor flip phone. Yes. Okay. So when you're mad, you clack that shit shut. Backstreet Boys was still huge. Avril Lavigne had just come out with Under My Skin. I wore eye makeup and made myself look like Alice Cooper, aka a raccoon. Yes. All right. Now that you know where we are, we're in the space. 15-year-old Kara Robinson, now Chamberlain, was at her friend Heather's house. So the plan was actually to go to the lake together, spend the day, you know, normal teen stuff. Before getting ready, Heather called her mom and just said, hey, is there anything I need to do before we leave? Because we're about to head out. Her mom's like, yeah, totally. If you could just water some flowers in the front yard before you go, be golden. Well, it was just a quick chore before a summer day, and Heather was like, hey, I need to shower. So Kara just kindly offered to do it so that they can be done quicker. I mean, who doesn't want to go to the lake? So Kara was alone outside, still in her pajamas, and she noticed that a car was driving by. And in a quote to True Crime Daily, she stated, I noticed it going in and out of the neighborhood, and then very quickly I noticed the car coming back into the neighborhood. It pulled into the driveway and the car parked, and a guy got out. He was just wearing a button-down shirt that was tucked in, a baseball cap, kind of nice-looking guy. He came over to me and he said, hey, I have some magazines and I saw y'all outside, so I wanted to give them to you. Is your mom or dad home? Hey guys, if anybody ever asked, if for some reason there's a 12-year-old listening, probably turn this off. But if you are, if somebody says, are your mom and dad home? Why?
Yes.
They are home.
The answer is always yes.
They're home. Okay. We grew up in the 90s where they told you if somebody called and you answered the phone, you say that they're there. They're just busy. So that person's like, well, I was going to kidnap you, but now I can't. That was the whole thing.
Yeah, they're in the shower. It's fine.
They're totally right inside. Excuse me. Give me a second. Hey, mom.
Yes.
Yeah, just throw your voice. Okay. So he said, I mean, he said, is your mom and dad home? And she's, I said, no, it's not my house. Also, don't say that. This is my friend Heather's house. And he said, okay, what about her mom? Is her mom here? And I said, no, she's not here right now. But hey, hindsight's 2020. We're not going to be.
I don't even like the saying hindsight's 2020 anymore because 2020 was such a shit.
Yeah. Okay. Look, hindsight is 2021 and we're doing better now. Okay. Trump is gone. It's all better. All right. Now it's political. You'll have to cut that out so you don't lose any. Well, if anybody's listening and they listen to Trump.
Yeah. Yeah. No. But... if I have any Trump listeners, like, sorry, but.
Hey, you know, you're free to your wrong opinion as I'm free to mine. So like I said, we're not victim blaming here. We're just using this as a learning tool. Just don't ever say that. Okay, so the stranger told her that it was totally fine and he would just give her the magazines and she can take them inside, no big deal. But then he moved closer to her and Kara felt like a strange feeling. He was too close. He was in her personal space. Okay, that's why the only reason I like the pandemic, stay 6 feet away, even after, stay 6 feet. He hands her the brochures and the magazine in his left hand, and with his right hand, he pulls out a gun and holds it to her. He instructed her to move towards his car, and of course, you're gonna do it. He made Kara climb in a Rubbermaid container in the back seat, like those 3x5 ones that people use as toy boxes or toolboxes and stuff.
Oh, that's so creepy.
Yeah, he made her climb in. Okay, so did he just stop at Home Goods on his way to abduct a child? I don't understand. But so he makes her climb in and then he puts the freaking lid on it, which is just the nightmare. So she laid in the container in a fetal position and she said she just concentrated. She closed her eyes and noted every turn, every stop, every sound, trying to find clues as to where she was going and where she was currently. She said she was building a map in her head to the destination. He drove around the neighborhood for a minute before she felt him move onto the interstate. She was being very perceptive. He drove for about 15 minutes. He pulled over to the side of the road. He opened up the container and told Kara in a calm voice, which just freaks me out even more, that he was going to tie her up and gag her. And he politely reminded her he still had a gun.
It's when they're calm and polite that you think that they've done this before. And it just makes them more scary.
I mean, I don't know if I'd be more freaked out by, hi, I have a gun and I'm going to kill you. Or like, I've got a gun and I'm going to kill you. Either, both are unsettling.
They're both unsettling, but I feel like the calm ones are more likely to follow through with it. And they're
Yeah, because they've got it together. They're not afraid no more.
They're too calm. They've done this before and they've gotten away with it because they're standing in front of me.
Hey, spoilers. All right, so she had already decided she was going to do whatever he wanted and she was going to be super nice and play along because if you get them on your side, you probably have more of a chance. So he tied her hands and her ankles and gagged her and then put the lid back on. So I guess she couldn't see or, you know, just to manipulate her to freak her out more. Then he drove for a few more minutes. Mm-hmm. I'm all right. I'm like, my hands are twitching because I'm getting panicked. I have claustrophobia, like, in the third person.
Oh, gosh. Oh,
okay. All right. I promise it doesn't get better.
I mean, it kind of does, but also not.
Girl, we got a while before that, so you better buckle up.
I am buckled.
You better climb in the back of that container to be ready. All right, so he parks the car again, and then he spoke to her. He told her, look, I'm going to take you out, but you better not scream. I'm going to leave the lid on, and I'm going to carry you. So then he picks it out, and she says she can feel him set it on the concrete and drag it. And then she can feel and hear everything, even to the point where she can feel the change from concrete to the threshold and then heard a door shut.
Okay, but also I hate the feeling of things scraping against concrete. And it's okay. Giving me sensory issues I just can't handle.
Yeah, now she's in a plastic container that's touching her skin. I'm like, ugh, yeah, that's got to feel. And the noise. Talk about ASMR.
We were earlier. No, thank you.
Yeah, so I'm gonna have to put you in a box and I'm gonna drag you while you record it so we know what it sounds like. And you're like,
no, not a chance. Okay. Not a chance in hell.
Well, for Patreon, for $5, I'm willing to put myself in a container and drag myself across concrete. I'm kidding, y'all. I'm broke no matter what I do. Okay, all right. So after a few minutes, he told her he was going to take the gag out, take off the restraints, but she needed to keep quiet because he still had a gun. Hey, buddy, we know. Like, this is your third time reminding her you still have a gun. It's not like she forgot. After being let out of the container, she saw that they were in his apartment. So she decided to pay attention to everything. Magnets on the fridge, pictures on the wall, the serial number in the Rubbermaid container had been memorized. She even scanned over his mail and saw who his dentist was. She was not playing games.
Jesus.
Yeah. If she was getting out, she's going to call somebody and be like, hey, just letting you know, I don't know who that guy is that you put a crown in, but I'm going to need to tell you some stuff. So she was going to learn everything. So she told the True Crime Daily, and I quote, because I knew I was going to escape, I wanted to learn everything about him. So I did try. I had conversation with him. He had some lizards and some fish. I asked him about those. I got him on the topic of, you know, he was in the military, and I found out he was discharged from the Navy. He was very cordial to me. Like, I know that sounds crazy, but he was very polite.
Well, yeah, he was planning on killing her. He could tell her as much as he wanted.
Oh, exactly. But also, like, I was a lizard owner, so I can speak from experience. Lizard owners are strange. Like, the moment you saw that iguana in the corner, you knew it was over. I'm kidding.
Iguanas are assholes, though.
I agree as I look at the scar on my thumb. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, yeah. We took care of one of my cousin's iguanas when I was a kid and traumatized.
Yeah, they're evil, and they like to climb up curtains and stay up at the top, and you can't reach them, and they know you can't. They just glare at you like, I win. I'm like, oh yeah? Well, 3 to 5 years ago, you're going to die of a cold, so I win.
Oh my god.
I said I deal with trauma with humor. My iguana died of a cold, and it was like the most traumatic thing ever, so I'm like, no, I'm going to make a joke out of it. I win.
You definitely did make a joke out of it, yes.
Girl, my whole life's a joke. What do you expect? Okay, so he also grabbed a pencil and a piece of paper and asked her a ton of personal questions and wrote down the answers. Ew. He was like, what is your name? What's your age? Whose house were you at? Have you ever had sex before? Any sexual experience? Do you have a boyfriend? You know, she's 15.
Gross.
So Kara knew something awful was coming. She thought to herself that men do not kidnap young girls just to ask questions. He wanted her for something, and unfortunately, she was right. He brought her to the bedroom, placed the gun and a knife on the table within reach, and trigger warning, raped her repeatedly for the next several hours. It has now been 8 hours since she was kidnapped, and the man turned on the TV and put on the news. He told her he was going to see if anyone had mentioned her and if anyone was missing her. After no word of her abduction, he stated, well, nobody misses you. He played mind games and tried to manipulate her by telling her he would let her go eventually, but what happened after that was her choice. He told her even if she went to the cops, she'll always be the girl that was raped.
I want to murder him. Sorry, that's...
Yeah, mental manipulation at its finest. And then she said after multiple times of him repeating it, she started to believe it. She told herself the stigma will attach to her, and she was always going to be the girl who was just raped and kidnapped. But regardless, he tried to remain calm and strong, collected, but then he instructed her to get back in the container. So he said he needed to make a phone call, and he wasn't going to gag her because she was so well behaved so far. So he puts her in. She starts to have a panic attack and starts to hyperventilate. He came back into the room and he says, what's your problem? And she told him, I can't breathe. Well, yeah, you put her in a freaking container. What do you mean, what's your problem?
What's your problem? I've only kidnapped, raped, and put you in a box, but yeah, you're being weird.
Yeah, what's your problem? I was just thinking about the time I forgot to send back my Netflix DVD so that I can get Mean Girls, and now I can't get it out of my head. No, of course she has a fucking problem and it's you. But yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Definitely.
Also, why put her in the box but not gag her? You're making a phone call. You can still yell in a box. But I guess it was more about to freak her out.
Yeah, of course it was.
She said, look, I can't breathe. So he said, I'll leave the lid off as long as you don't make any noise. Without the lid, she knew what she was doing, though. Because without the lid, she can hear the full conversation. So she did all this so she can hear everything. So he was on the phone with his wife.
Oh, my God.
This guy got somebody to marry him.
God, just imagine, though. Imagine being so fucking bold. You literally have a girl in a container while you are on the phone with your wife.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Certain type of psychopath for that. Yeah. So after hanging up, he came back to her. He told her she was going to be in the apartment for a couple days, so she's going to need to eat at some point. He made her smoke pot, take a Valium before he was ready for bed. He also forced her to eat. So she described how he restrained her as, and I quote, "He put handcuffs on my wrist, and he had a rope coming from the bed frame. On the end of a rope was those C clamps so that he can attach them to my handcuffs. So my hands were kind of up here." She gestures upwards. "And then he had a restraint on my right leg, which was attached to the bottom of the bed where the bed frame was there. Then he was just like, okay, we're going to sleep in the same bed. He was right next to me."
Where is his wife in all of this?
Disney what? World. I'll get to that eventually.
Oh,
but
my God.
Yeah, he shipped her off on vacation. He knew this was all planned. Maybe.
That is vomitous. I can't look at Disney World the same.
I mean, I'm still going. You know, if you don't want to go.
I mean, I would too, but like.
But yeah.
But there's going to be a cloud over it for sure.
I don't care. If it lessens the lines, let everybody know. But like, and I'm not trying to be insensitive, everybody. It's just, I deal with trauma and humor, and the story makes me really upset. So
we both do. It's yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, he kind of, you just shows that he planned this, maybe not with Kara herself, but just any girl he came across. Cause I don't think he knew she was going to be there. She didn't even live there. Maybe her friend was the target, but the fact that he knew enough to ship his wife off, and then he had the container in the back seat, he had the ropes ready. This was all planned. It had to be. All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So his wife is literally riding the Tower of Terror, and he's like,
more than she knew.
Yeah. Your whole life's about to be a Tower of Terror, baby. Okay. All right. So they both fall asleep, but she woke up before him. She said he was passed out, and she knew this was her time to try and escape. She says, and I quote, "My hands were kind of up here. I already said that." Oh, no. She repeats it. Okay. "My hands were kind of up there. So the first thing I did was try to kind of reach them and use my hand to unscrew the C-clasp, but I couldn't quite do that. There was just enough room where I can kind of get it into my mouth, so I used my teeth to unscrew it. I still had my hands in the handcuffs, and then when I was able to kind of slowly wiggle down to my ankles enough to unattach from the bed, I kind of slid out of the bed without waking him up." So she's now free from the restraints, and she gets out of bed without him knowing. I would be freaking out. I'd vomit. Okay, well, no, that would wake him up.
Yeah, I probably would have just been murdered in this situation, honestly.
I can't even park in a new place without Google mapping Street View where I'm going to park and this girl sliding out of a murderer's bed. So I'm like,
yeah, same.
You know, I want to be that person to be like, psh, you couldn't kill me, but at the same time, you probably could.
I would be the first person to die in a horror movie. Exactly. Like, hands down. I am useless. Meanwhile, Luke can actually, and when you were talking about how she memorized all of the turns and everything, Luke can do that. I tried to surprise him by taking him to the movies once, and he's like, oh, yeah, we're at this exit on the freeway right now. I literally had to drive around 5 neighborhoods for like 2 hours to trick him and then say, oh, I didn't remember there being water over here where there was none.
Okay, well, if you wanted to be a real surprise, you should have just pushed him out the vehicle and kept driving. Surprise! Yeah, that's what you do.
Don't worry, Luke's mom. I would never do that.
I keep forgetting she's going to listen. She would never.
It's fine.
She would never. No, I mean, I get lost in video games, so yeah, I'd have been done for. Like, they would.
Oh my God, I am the worst at navigating, like Skyrim. No.
Oh yeah, I'm directionally challenged. You could literally put a blindfold on my face and turn me halfway around, and I'll think I'm in another dimension. It's done for. So
same.
Yeah, I would never. I want to be like you. Could not. I would survive, but I just know that I would be one too lazy, because I'd be like, I know that I'm tied up, but I'm so tired.
Like, yeah, you know what? Like a lifelong sleep sounds really good right about now. It's fine.
I'm just like, I'm going to take a nap. If I wake up dead, I wake up dead. All right. So y'all don't do that. You should fight. Okay. All right. I'm just
yeah, absolutely fight.
I'm just a potato. That's all.
Let Kara inspire you.
Yeah. Please. Let her, not me.
Yeah, not either one of us. We're useless.
Exactly. If I'm ever kidnapped, it's not a survivor story. We just know it. All right, where was I after I rambled? Everyone's going to be like, what were we listening to? All right, okay, all right.
What were we listening to? Which episode is this again? What day is it?
We're like 25 minutes in, and I've gotten one page done. No, I'm kidding. I'm almost two. All right. So she's now.
That would be fine, though. I love this. This is great.
It's going to be a long one. You're like, I don't care how long it is. I didn't have to research it. All right. So
I do have to edit it, though.
It's okay. I think I've only screwed up once. So if you wrote down the time code, you're fine. I don't want no.
I absolutely did not, because that would have made too much sense. It's fine.
I mean, I'm not saying I had a podcast before, but if you need any tips. Okay. So she was now free from the restraints and out of the bed without him knowing. She quickly and quietly put her clothes back on and went into the living room. He had blocked the front door with a vacuum, the container she was in, and a weird metal accordion door from the adjoining closet was leaned against it. So I guess he, like, rigged it so that it was a loud accordion metal door. So she tried to move everything as quietly as possible and then unlocked the door and opened it really slowly so it didn't make any noise. But she knew the moment she closed it, that metal accordion door was going to make so much noise. And his bedroom window faced the front door, so she knew that he was going to wake up the moment. So she had one shot. She needed to go as fast as she could. So barefoot and scared, she ran into the parking lot and spotted a car. She ran out in front of it, waving her arms and yelling, "I was kidnapped. I just came from that apartment." And she kept pointing at it so the driver would notice the apartment door. In the car was two middle-aged men and a younger guy, and they drove her to the police department.
Thank God. That could have gone so much worse.
Well, I mean, what was it? The girl, I'd had her name 5 seconds ago in my head. She was a survivor that got her arms chopped off.
Oh my God, no, that one freaks me out.
Mary Vincent. The first car drove away.
I know. Yeah. That case freaked me the fuck out.
Yeah, she's another badass survivor, y'all. If y'all don't know about Mary Vincent, you need to look her up. But
or just wait for me to cover it, because I will.
Yeah, hell yeah. Oh, when you do it, let me join. You can research, I'll just listen.
Okay.
All right, so
great.
So, of course, these lovely gentlemen drove her to the Richland County Sheriff's substation, and they told the deputy exactly what had happened and where they picked her up. Kara was shocked that it seemed that the deputy, who shocked, was a guy, pretended that she was crazy and acted like he didn't believe her. She was still wearing the handcuff on one of her wrists, and he was still skeptical.
Yeah, it was clearly just BDSM gone wrong, guys.
Yeah, this is what I do on a Saturday. I run barefoot into parking lot, screaming my head off. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's my favorite, pretending I was kidnapped. Oh, God.
This is for my new TikTok, y'all. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, come on, be a little more respectful to the victims. Like, at least hear her out. She, like I said, she still had a freaking handcuff on. She was furious that this guy was, like, acting like she was in that case. But at least they called her mom and told her after 18 hours, she was finally found. They told her they were going to take her to the hospital because, of course, you got to get tested. You have to have a rape kit and everything. But first, they wanted her to take them back to the apartment. Hi.
Great.
That is so insensitive. I'm like,
yeah, let's just poke your trauma real quick, even though we don't believe you at all. It's fine.
What about the guys in the car? Let them take you back. This chick does not need to be really living that, but fine. All right. You know what? You didn't believe her anyway. So they got to the apartment building location, got the apartment building location from one of the gentlemen in the car who was like, this is where we picked her up. So they went there, but she did not know the number because she never saw the number. She said her head was so full of so much other information, she couldn't retain it. She said everything inside. She can give him the serial number, that he had a wife. And she even said, I knew the wife had red hair because I saw the hairbrush, and the hairbrush had strands of red hair in it.
Holy fuck, dude.
So the police spoke to the property manager and was able to get the exact apartment because Kara was able to completely describe the man and also the color of the wife's red hair. So by the time they had located the apartment, of course, shocking, he was gone.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that at all.
He was just going to hang around there like, what's up, guys? Yeah.
Oh, boy.
No. So he had woken up as soon as she had left and he fled. This led the cops to gaining a search warrant for the home of now, as we know him, Richard Evanitz. Evanitz?
I don't know.
I listened to a YouTube of it earlier, and now I can't remember because of anxiety.
You're doing great. He's not important.
Richard Evanitz. Okay, all right. So Evanitz. Evanitz. Richard Evanitz. That's it. Okay. All right. Got it. If you really want, you can look up. Nobody cares about his name anyway. This is about Kara. Okay. So the man the cops knew nothing about, would soon find they were searching for him. So they gathered access to his phone records, and his vehicles that he would use. They searched the apartments and found a metal footlocker inside where newspaper clippings from Spotsylvania, Virginia were located. The article was about two sisters whose bodies were found in the river. It was about 15-year-old Kristen Lisk and 12-year-old Katie Lisk, who had been abducted from their front lawns on May 1st, 1997. Kristen was a freshman. She played soccer. She loved ladybugs. Katie played clarinet and wanted to be a cartoonist. Essentially, they were abducted, murdered, and dumped in a river. So both girls were dropped off by their school bus at 3 p.m. They went inside. Normally, the girls would call their dad right away, tell him they were home, but he said he never got the call. So he called the house and it rang with no answer. So then he left work, rushed home. The house was empty and the girls were gone.
Oh, my heart.
I know. The only thing that was left was one of his daughter's possessions laying in the front lawn. He called the police, who came over. They saw no evidence of foul play, but surprisingly, they ruled out runaways, which is normally what they say first. It's like, I'm sure they run away. But due to their high grades and personality traits, they knew that there was no way they had ran away. So search parties were sent out, and by the weekend, more than 1,500 people were out looking. Unfortunately, the bodies were found by state road workers along South Anna River 5 days later. Ugh. They were only partially clad and partially submerged. Investigators say along with the newspaper headlines about the abductions, they also found detailed notes that he wrote to himself while carefully planning the abductions.
Ugh.
As well as the pressed white button-down shirt he wore during the attack.
Gross. No, that reminds me. So when I took a break with Thrice Cursed for like a month and a half, it was because I tried doing a story about Joel Guy Jr., who basically murdered both of his parents in the most horrific ways, but wrote out like a 3-page checklist.
Wow.
On how to do it. And so I hand wrote out his exact checklist, and it put me in such a horrible mental state. I could not.
Yeah, that you get in your head about that kind of stuff. No, it takes a special kind of just psycho. Yeah. But of course, like, this, he's got all this stuff from this unsolved murder. Like, he has a shirt. He has notes. He has the article. So I was like, okay, obviously this guy's connected somehow. So
it's crazy to me that you would think he goes so far as to put her in a bin so that, like, she doesn't leave evidence in his car.
But he keeps a shirt.
But then he keeps all of that.
Yeah. Well, I guess, I mean, here's the thing. Sociopaths think they're smarter than everyone.
Yes.
And so they're like, there's no way I'll ever be caught. So who? He has a wife and he's like, she's never going to look in this footlocker. But obviously it's also like manipulation. She never looked because he probably made sure she couldn't look, or he threatened her some way. Like, you don't know what he did to make her not want to know what's in that.
Yeah.
Couldn't be me though. I'd open that up right away because I am nosy. Okay.
Right. I find things that, like, I'll find something of Luke's in the room and I'm just like, oh, what's this? This looks interesting. And then I'll text him and I'll be like, why is this in the room? What is this?
And they're like, I didn't even know I had that. That's like 15 years old. Yeah. And you're like, really? Because it smells like another woman. And they're like, that smells like Axe body spray. You're just reading into it.
I mean, I'm not quite that bad. But
oh,
yeah.
I said something once. I was like, Eric, this smells like another girl. And he was like, you had another girl over. And I was like, oh.
Oh, hey. Right. I forgot. I forgot that Stacy was over yesterday. Right.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, my bad. I'm just a psycho. Okay. All right.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. So. Where are we? All right, so the police dived deeper, and they contacted his wife by the name of Hope Marie Crowley and her and his mother, who were on vacation at Disney, like I said, and were completely unaware. So he not only sent his wife, but his mother. There, he's like, go.
That's cute.
Hey, listen, if two people are going on, if two people are going on a trip to Disney and you choose not to go, we're going to assume you're a murderer.
Yeah.
So that was his first mistake. So his wife quickly left Disney World and returned home because she is freaking out. So the police also made contact with Richard's sister, who was more than willing to give him up. And I'm the same way. If I ever find out my brother did something wrong, I'm the first one who's going to turn him in. Because we're not going to have that.
Yeah, brother, child, I don't care. Like,
I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. You did that, and you made the mistake of telling me? Oh, buddy. Not only am I turning you in, but I'm going to talk about it on a podcast. You better be ready. I'm going to get rich on that tell-all book.
Yeah, like, need I remind you I had a podcast talking about this? Why are you telling me these things?
What do you think I'm gonna do? Cover for you? Yeah, right. I can't keep a secret. Want to hear something someone told me 6 years ago? All right. Okay. So, where was I? So she left. She ran home. police contacted his sister. She indicated that he was staying in a motel about 30, 40 minutes away, and they quickly dispatched a team, but by the time they made it, he was gone. They received word that his phone was pinging off a tower in Jacksonville, Florida, and he was heading south. So the cops spotted Richard, and it quickly turned into a chase that ended in Richard putting a gun in his mouth and taking his own life.
What a bitch.
Pussy! Yeah. So on June 27th, 2002, at the age of 39, Richard was unfortunately dead. And why I say unfortunately, because I wish he would have rot in prison, but we can't get what we want.
Yeah. Don't take the fucking coward's way out. Like, if you are willing to not only take people's lives, but also just destroy them, like, man up to it.
You deserve it. You deserve to be in prison. You deserve to think of every day of it. That's how it is. I'm like, yeah. Mm-mm. That's why I'm not even like big on I don't believe in the death penalty for multiple reasons. One, it's a permanent solution to, you could have possibly wrongfully imprisoned someone and then killed them for nothing, which happens. But also two, I don't want them to die. I want them to think about it every day. And usually child molesters and rapists get beat up in prison. So I want that too.
I want that to happen. I want them put in Gen Pop, but also I have mixed emotions on the death penalty, but that's not what this is about. This is about Kara. So
Yep. I'm like, how dare you, you fucking dick. She didn't even get her time in court. You're a piece of shit. Okay, so a little bit about Dick. That's what we're going to call him. He was born July 29th, 1963. He was a Navy vet. I don't care. He had a high IQ, but he was still a moron. So he seemed normal to most people, except to female coworkers who found him creepy and dominating.
Weird. That's so strange.
Oh, he's going to get weirder. In 1987, he was arrested for exposing himself to a 15-year-old girl.
So shocked.
He was also on his second marriage. And both wives were teens when he courted them. His current wife, Hope, poor baby girl, she was 17 and he was 36.
God, stop it.
He's a creep. Yeah. So they reported back to Kara about the suicide, and she said she was angry. I quote, "I was just kind of mad he got the easy way out." Yeah.
Yeah, we all are. Yeah. No one's more mad than her, but we're all mad.
Exactly. You know, she deserved to be able to point him out in court and put him away, but that's okay. She's going to do great for herself.
Yes.
So Richard was dead, but that is not the spot where the police just stopped looking. They're like, we're going to dig, because already we found this weird ass headline. Something's here. They were able to link him to the murdered sisters in Virginia now that they were aware that he was connected. So they linked by DNA. That's not all the DNA led them to. He had DNA in small fibers that led them to a cold case in the same county, the abduction and murder of 16-year-old Sophia Silva. So Sophia was abducted from her front porch steps in her home in Virginia. She was just sitting on the porch drinking, like, grape soda. Her big sister's right inside. You would think you're safe. She's doing her homework. But she was abducted. So a little bit about her. Her favorite color was purple, sweet baby girl. And she wanted to be a cosmetologist. And I'm just so sad. Okay. So September 9th, 1996, while she's doing her homework, she is abducted, and then her body is found in the pond 5 weeks later. She was found in a white cover, and she was only recognized by her purple nail polish.
Oh, the poor baby girl.
So, people wonder why I quit true crime. Okay, so they also found fibers from the fuzzy handcuffs that he used on Kara on the body of the two Lisk sisters and Sophia. Ugh. So he used the same handcuffs for all of them. They found a palm print of Kristen Lisk in his trunk, even though it had been 5 years.
What a dumbass.
Hey, I'm glad.
I mean, like, we already know he's an idiot, but.
Good. Make that mistake. That's all, you know, because it's like, now they have, that you can have an assumption that he's linked, but now you have proof. So.
Yeah, I actually have a merch item that says, make my job easier, leave a fingerprint. Please leave all of the fingerprints.
Exactly. Hey, while you're at it, just leave your social security card. I promise I won't use it.
Oh, right, really quick, on that note, we're going to take a quick break for ads.
Yay!
Hey, cursed ones. Since you're listening to my podcast, I can only assume that, like me, you're into the dark and spooky sides of life that most people tend to stay away from. If that's the case, you'll love the new partnership I'm a part of. I've partnered with Melodramatic Fine Art to bring you a beautiful set of 5 spooky-looking postcards. Personally, I'm framing and hanging mine. They're so cool. I'm not sending them to anybody. They're mine. Each postcard is 5 by 7 inches, has a matte finish, and features photographs of eerie, spooky shit that I just cannot get enough of. We're talking dark chandeliers, a bathtub full of dirt and leaves, random toilet brush art that you'll have to see to believe. Not to mention, the creator of these is one of my very first supporters. So if you could help me support her, head to thricecursedpod.com and click the menu option postcard set, or search Melodramatic Fine Art on Etsy. Make sure to use code THRICE10 at checkout for 10% off. And just in time for the holidays, too.
Hey, listeners. If you're tuning into this show, one, you have good taste, and two, you might enjoy another show that we host called Death by Champagne, the podcast here to keep you up at night. I'm Mackenzie.
And I'm Olivia.
We have topics in all realms. From the reality of true crime to the depths of the occult, we have dozens of episodes to binge that range from hair-raising scares to infuriating miscarriages of justice.
We've covered everything from the origins of Satan to the crimes of an unidentified serial killer in our hometown of St. Louis. Other episodes include tales of unsolved mysteries, murder investigations, disappearances, cold cases, hauntings, folklore, and people in history that are stranger than fiction.
In season 3, you can join us for a true crime book club, giving in-depth coverage on cases living in the darkest corners of our bookshelves. Our first multi-part series is on the crimes of Gary Ridgway, focusing on his family, victims, and survivors.
So grab your cat keychain, surround yourself in a salt circle, lock your doors, and unlock that phone.
Hail Satan.
And pop some bottles.
All right, we are back.
We're going to pretend that never happened and we're back where we started. I shimmied out. I'm good to go. All right. For you guys, that break was 30 seconds. For us, it was like 10 minutes of just running our mouths again.
Once again, yeah, we love each other. It's fine.
I'm like, I have no boundaries. Okay, all right. So Richard was a serial killer and Kara was clearly going to be his next murder victim. But through this entire ordeal, Kara had grown close to Sheriff Leon Lott, which is not the person who doubted her. This is somebody who supported her. So he took her under his wing like a daughter. He stated he already had daughters, but Kara was just like one of them and she became a part of the family. Like, he even invited her over for dinner. And when she became 16, he got her a job. Also, they reached out to the victims of the Lisk sisters and Sophia Silva, like the victims' families. And accumulatively, they had raised $150,000 reward for solving the murder of the 3 girls. He reached out to them and the families decided to give the reward money to Kara. So Kara got $150,000. I know,
I'm trying not to cry. I just...
She deserved it. She not only, put the end of it to a serial killer and she saved herself, but she solved their murders by doing so. If it wasn't for her, they would never know. And he probably would have murdered a ton more people.
Probably.
So they gave her $150,000, which, by the way, you find out later, she used that to put herself through college. So, all right. She started to heal and progress, try to live like a normal teen, which included finding a summer job in 2003 because she was 16. So Sheriff Lott offered her a job doing administrative work for the Department for Victim Services and in the DNA lab. She actually ended up doing this for years, even through college. She originally went to become a teacher, but she changed her mind and became a school resource officer so she could still work with the sheriff department. So while she's in the academy, because she ended up becoming a police officer eventually, while in the academy, she decided to keep her past quiet because she didn't want to be labeled, right? She didn't want to be that person. But the secret was out one day because she was a cadet in the police academy, okay? And her teacher started going over old cases. And the teacher showed a slide of Kristen and Katie Lisk and Sophia Silva. And of course, Kara's in the background. And she said she breathed a small, oh no. Because the teacher started to go over all the murders and how there was a survivor named Kara who helped catch him. After the class, Kara went up to her teacher and was like, hey, surprise, shorty, that's me.
Yeah.
I'm Kara. So she said, at that time, so at that point, I didn't tell anybody, but then the leadership at the academy decided to tell people. They came to me and they were like, hey, we want to nominate you for an award at the academy. Then I was given an award for courage and bravery at the academy at my graduation. So they honored her, which is like, she deserved it. So sweet. And
I'm literally crying right now. That's why I'm so quiet. I'm sorry.
Listen, also recently they named a police dog after her. I forgot to write this down because this happened like way after I did the research. But yeah, they named a dog after her and she got to go meet it and like cuddle on it and stuff. Because she's no longer a police officer. But
oh, and she has videos of that on her TikTok channel and yes, her Instagram. Yes. And it is the cutest thing
the ever. Dog, she was like, I'm going to go meet the dog named after me. Yeah. All right. So she was given the award for courage and bravery. She said, all right.
Bravery.
Hey, I've done really well so far. Could you back off my balls?
You have done really well so far, but Twin Witches of Braverly Place is where my mind
is
right now.
That's
fine.
Like, hi, I'm
combined, Dom. I just combined two Disney shows. It's fine.
That's whatever. Hi, I'm Dom, and you're watching Disney Not Channel.
No, we're not trying to claim any rights to
No, because then we get sued.
Don't sue me.
We sued. I have to fake my own death, leave the country. Yeah, no, we're good.
Well, don't tell them your plan.
What if that's my fake plan? Because the real plan is to make them think I did that, but I'm still living as myself. Can you shut up?
Oh, well, now we just ruined it either way.
No, I just can't get sued. I'm looking forward to that, too. Damn it.
Bummer.
All right, well, there goes my Friday night plans. All right, so Chamberlain investigated sexual assault and child abuse cases and went back to victim services. She's actually now married and has two small boys. She's chosen not to become a victim, but to be a survivor and thrive. She stated, I think they say you're a victim, then that means someone took your power from you. Nothing was taken from me. I refuse to give that man any of my power. Okay, girl, I'm going to need to tattoo that on my rib cage. Okay.
Yes, she is... honestly a fucking hero. I actually reached out to her at one point and was just like, thank you for just being you, you're amazing. And she was so sweet, she replied to me.
Yeah, she really is so nice. I reached out to her and was like, I want to cover your story in a podcast, and the first thing she said back was like, compensation. I was like, oh no, boo, I'm not telling you have to be on my podcast. I just want your permission to cover it. And she's like, oh, in that case, heck yeah, all I ask is you tell them about my website, send them there. And so if Rebecca would be willing to, if you could put her link to her episode, like her actual website, in the episode notes, that'd be
of course
supreme. That way you guys can go. She's got good stuff on there, good resources, a lot of stuff. So she does motivational speaking. Currently, she actually is working on a documentary, which, poor thing, I think it's like the most stressful thing she's ever gone through besides this story. Cause she was like, she said, it's all together. I'm so excited. Everybody they were going to interview has dropped out. She's having trouble. Family members aren't wanting to speak. Like, everybody who agreed to do it is backing out. And she's like, I feel like I'm on my own on this, because she does have a production company. She has people who are going to make it, but she has to make it happen. This is her baby. So they want her to do the legwork.
Yeah. And then COVID's also made that even harder.
Yeah, you guys, go follow her TikTok, too. She blew up, but, like, she's complaining. She messaged me, and she's like, am I shadow banned? I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, what does shadow banned even mean? Like,
it means that they're not showing your information on your TikTok.
I know.
Yeah, so I was like, I don't know. She was like, well, have you seen me on your For You page? And I was like, no. And she's like, then you answered, and I'm like, you're welcome.
I'm mostly only seeing garbage content that is funny but not important.
If it says anything about my algorithm, mine is all lesbian videos, supernatural, and a little bit of true crime. I was on Harry Potter TikTok, but it got real toxic real fast. So,
oh god. I have somehow found myself in gay TikTok.
That's the best place to be, though.
It really is. It's so much better than straight TikTok.
Straight TikTok is scary.
Been living my life wrong.
Yeah, I see a straight couple and I'm like, oh, I ended up on the wrong part.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Thanks to TikTok, all I could think of is me and your girlfriend playing and dressed up in my house. Yeah, okay. All right. If you didn't know I was gay, you know now.
Oh boy.
All right, where was I? Okay, yeah, so she's making a documentary, so hopefully that will come out soon, and when it does, it's gonna be fantastic because she's a part of it. She also gained a following on TikTok, which is actually where I heard of her, like, well, not heard of her, but like heard that she was out and about and you can reach out to her, which is where I made contact, got permission to tell the story. She's very kind. She just asked that, you know, people check out her website and support her documentary when it does come out. Finally, I'll leave you with a quote from BuzzFeed from her that says, "Bad things can happen, but it's not the end of the world. We get to choose when something negative happens. Do we let it destroy us or do we let it make us a stronger person?" And that, y'all, is the badass survival story of Kara Chamberlain and, of course, the unfortunate murders of the Lisk sisters and Sophia Silva. My sources were BuzzFeed, a woman survived a kidnapping by a serial killer and is now empowering people on TikTok, world's longest headline. True Crime Daily Mail, kidnapped. Kara Robinson survives abduction by serial killer, thrives in law enforcement. Pretty sure that is a song by... come on, Brennan Urie, you're like, "I shine in with a haven't you people ever heard of? Panic at a Disco." Pretty sure this is an old title from them, you know. And then it's apnews.com/article from May 7th, 1997. Sisters found dead outside a small Virginia town. Y'all, I had to dig way back to the early stages of the internet to find information on the girls. And then ABC News, yeah. Tiny Fibers helped FBI nab a serial killer. Also, if you want basically a retelling with about the same amount of information, apparently. My Favorite Murder, I think Georgia did cover it as well. So, and yeah, like I said, check out her website, check out her TikTok. And
do you have her website written down that you could read out?
I told you, girl, you're going to have to plug that in the show notes. I am lazy. I said I researched. I didn't say I went like that.
Actually, got it.
I could look it up, but you're going to hear a lot of clickety clack, so I'm just not going to do that because you'll have to
end. No, it's fine. I'll
That's
just
for your ASMR.
Record and insert something in. Oh, yes.
Well, ASMR. No, I mean, just put it in the show notes. It'll be fine, right, y'all?
Hey, guys. I'm just recording a little snippet so that we can input her information here because that just feels very important for me to do. So her website is kararobinsonchamberlain.com. And as we said earlier, I will be inputting that in the show notes as well. So please make sure to head over there and check that out.
You give you a reason to read her details, okay?
I have so many details. I'm so important, you guys.
All right,
boo-boo. Not even at all. Okay. On that note, Dom, where can they find your former podcast? Or I guess it still exists.
It's still ongoing. People are still listening to it. So
yeah, so where can they find that?
Anywhere you can find a podcast. So pretty much Apple Podcasts, Google, Stitcher, Himalaya, which I thought was just a salt. Breaker, CastBox. We're on Pandora. Shut up. We're on Pandora.
I can't, okay? This is your fault.
We're on iHeartRadio. Pretty much anywhere. And it's still up. Like I said, we did a year. I think we had 38 regular episodes and like 3 bonus or mini episodes or whatever. So yeah, like I said,
and every episode is as amazing as the last one. So that's Let's Whine About Murder.
They progressively get better. Yeah, Let's Whine About Murder.
We do.
The episode 1, you could tell I'm really nervous because I started drinking and we recorded 1 and 2 together since they say that you should release 2 episodes at the first time. So you can hear my descent into madness by this episode 2. I was wasted. And yeah, I learned from that.
Were you white girl wasted?
I was whiskey. I was white trash wasted, my girl. Yeah, I was like, y'all, I'm going to have to get blackout drunk because I wasn't even sure where I was ready to start a podcast and we did it anyway. So I'm like, you know what? If I don't remember it, it doesn't count. But then it was semi-successful. So I was like, I got to stop drinking because my family
members. It was a lot more successful than she says it is. It's fine.
I had family members reaching out. I'm like, hey, I'm going to listen. And I'm like, please, for the love of God, don't.
And also, did those family members reach out to you afterwards and say, hey, I think you have a drinking problem?
No, but my aunt said, wow, that was a great episode. My only complaint is you talked about your vagina. I was like,
aw, welcome to my life.
I was like, honestly, I don't remember saying that. I made a vagina joke, but who cares? But yeah, it was like, or like my dad started to listen and I was like, you can't listen. I literally shit talked you in like 3 episodes. So I gave him a fake name.
Oh my God. It is like, It is my dream that my dad finds out about my podcast but doesn't listen to it. And then I somehow miraculously end up doing live shows. I don't even know what that would look like. But here's my dream is that I end up doing live shows and this dumbass finds out about it because I strategically flyer his neighborhood. It's fine. So he decides to come to the live show so he can be like, that's my daughter. She's only here because of me. And then I point him out and the crowd simultaneously just boos him out of the venue. That is life goal.
So
sorry.
So when's your next therapist appointment? Because I think you have some stuff to talk about.
You know what? We can do a recorded therapist appointment, me and you, if you want. Like, that's fine. Like, how does that but make?
I spent
girl
time,
can't afford therapy.
I spent time in a mental hospital. I'll just use what they did on me to you. And I'll be like, so how does that make you feel? If you could be any animal,
yeah,
why?
That's great.
Why would you be an animal? Why? And I was like, a snake, because I'm a god kid. And they're like, you know, a snake says a lot about you. And I was like, why? Because I hiss. Hiss. And they're like, ooh, you belong here. So.
Oh, there's actually Whitney Cummins. Whitney Cummins does a podcast.
Yep.
I think it's called Good For You.
Yep.
Yeah. So she does an episode with Dan Levy, who I love. And is it Levy?
Girl, you're asking the wrong person.
I don't know. I don't know. Ew, David.
Oh, him?
So she. Yeah. Ew, David.
Ew, David. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so she does an episode with him, and she asks him, like, three questions, and those three questions determine a lot about, like, three different things about your personality. I would suggest, A, that podcast is just really good, so I would just go listen to it, and specifically that episode, because they're both amazing, and it's an interesting little personality test.
Yeah.
Answer the questions yourself before she tells you why.
Well, Taylor and I did that actually on our podcast. We had that little segment called Light Over the Stove where we just try to do something to brighten it up a little because and Taylor is obsessed with Whitney Cummings. So she took the test and like gave it to me on the podcast. So you can hear an unedited
Oh, I heard that one actually.
I'm like, one of them was like, the body of water you like, and I was like, Gulf of Mexico, and she was like, that's how you see yourself. I'm like, dirty and that's how you see yourself sexually, and I was like, dirty and disappointing. Oh no. Yeah.
Oh boy.
Also, fun fact, Whitney Cummings is kind of like blacklisted from the state of West Virginia because she found out her dad is from here and she grew up summers here, but she was so young she thought it was Virginia, and then she like I guess made fun of everyone who fucking deserved it and was like talking about hillbillies and rednecks and losing teeth and stuff, and they were like so mad, and I'm like, y'all, if the shoe fits, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, if the shoe fits, lace that bitch up and wear it.
She was just like, I have I think part of my redneck DNA, I have like a thing, I'm attracted to guys with big bushy beards and like beer guts and like weird twangs, and it must be the West Virginia in me. And people are like, you're trash. And I'm like, y'all.
No, you're honest. Oh, she's amazing. I love her. Anyways.
I'll keep going. So yeah, shut me up. Start the end of that. What is
we
it?
Will
the
keep
Oscar
going.
Music where they start playing it like your speech is going too long?
Slowly fades out. You're done.
The cane comes right, out and wraps around my waist and starts to pull me off stage as I'm like, wait, I wasn't done. Yeah.
Oh, love it. All right, everyone. So that wraps this. So again, please, please, please go to Kara Chamberlain's website. I'm going to put that in the show notes. I will not be posting this entire episode in blog form, but I will post like a little summary and some photos as well as her information on my website. You can find more Cursed content. I'm dying. Hold on. Sorry.
So when she dies and I restart my Wine About Murder podcast, I'll report on her death and be like, I was there.
Oh my God, please. I will forever be immortalized on one of my favorite podcasts. That is fine. Oh, we're so stupid. Okay. So for more Cursed content, you can find me on Twitter or Instagram at ThriceCursedPod. You can send me emails. Please send me listener stories. I like reading them. They're very fun. I try to make them interesting. You can do that at ThriceCursedPod@gmail.com. You can go over to my website. I did not type any of this up, so I'm forgetting things.
You can go over to my website once I figure out. You can go to my website once I figure out where it is.
Yeah, exactly. I literally have to script my entire episode. Yeah, hold on. It's fine. Okay, you can check out my website, www.thricecursedpod.com. Please join the Discord server. We will be doing a game night, I guess, once this releases. It will be this coming Saturday, so the 3rd at 7 p.m. PST. It is a ton of fun. We play, like, Cards Against Humanity and fun stuff, and I spend too much time in there revealing way too much about my personal life. Dom, you can relate to that, I'm sure.
Hi. I'm a compulsive oversharer as well.
And I don't even need alcohol.
Like, I was on your episode for an hour. I was on your episode for an hour, and everyone knows my whole life, including my sexuality, which took me 15 years to figure out.
I'm so proud of you. Thank you for sharing. Anyways, until next time, keep your curses hexy and your hexes sexy.
Can I do my catch-up phrase too?
Oh, absolutely. Please.
Y'all, all right, I'm gonna get people from Let's Whine About Murder who used to love us to listen to this, and I'm gonna give y'all this too. Catch you on the sip side. So he drove about 15 minutes. Did you just hit your mic, girl?
No, I just coughed.
I was like, oh, okay, it's fine. Leave that out, take it out, it doesn't matter. Okay. So he drove about 15 minutes before she felt him pull over to the side of the road. I'm going to reread that whole sentence.
All right. Oh.
Get rid of that. Along with the bad juju of me being nervous. Okay.